Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk. Ask the Expert on Lunchtime Live.
Now, every Wednesday afternoon, we bring an expert in to answer all of your questions, to give our listeners some free advice. And today I am chatting to hearing aid audiologist Frank McGraw. Frank, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Not at all. We have tons and tons of questions about people's ears for you today. I'd say 60% of them are all about tinnitus or tinnitus. How do you pronounce it?
Either is fine. Tinnitus is the accepted pronunciation of this side of the Atlantic. Tinnitus is what you'll hear a lot in the States.
The American. What is it, Frank?
Tinnitus, very simply, is noise in your head that doesn't exist or come from the outside world. And it is a big problem worldwide. Recent statistics for Ireland, there's somewhere in the region of 600,000 people in Ireland suffering with tinnitus on a daily basis.
Wow.
Or at least experiencing tinnitus on a daily basis. And somewhere in the region of 42,000 people in the country have severe, debilitating tinnitus that stops them from functioning in a normal way.
They lose sleep. And what is it like, or how do you get it?
90%, in fact, possibly more than 90%, the root cause is hearing loss or some small anomaly in your hearing. That, along with some trauma, which could be as simple as daily stress commuting right the way through to an illness or a fall. Those two in conjunction, if you like, kick your brain into filling a gap in your hearing spectrum that it has noticed. And it fills that gap with random electrical noise in your brain. That's the simplest explanation.
It's sort of a humming noise, is it? Or
it can be buzzing. Humming. It can be hissing. It can sound like rain falling. It can be all forms. There's a rare type of tinnitus where people hear music. It would. Yeah, it does. In fact, some people have to be medicated, and some people actually consider, unfortunately, suicide. It gets that bad.
And can it ever be fixed?
I will say yes, a qualified yes. Very same way as there's no cure for tooth decay, there's no cure for many types of eyesight impairment. You don't accept the fact that you have a hole in your tooth and let it rot and fall out. You go and do something about it. So if you have tinnitus, you don't need a diagnosis from anybody except yourself. If you have noise in your head that doesn't come from the outside world, you have tinnitus. Mm. You need to go to your GP and you need to go to an audiologist. Book in for a hearing test. Now, while many audiologists don't specialise in tinnitus and the more difficult types of tinnitus, a good 50-60% or more will get great assistance when they go to their audiologist. But certainly, there's certain types of tinnitus that can be a very, very small number. Tinnitus is not a sign that you have something seriously or life-threatening wrong with you. You should still check in with your GP, always and ever. Most audiologists, if you go to ishaa.ie, the Irish Society of Hearing Aid Audiologists website, you'll find there listed 340 or so audiologists all around the country. Give them a call, book in for a test.
So does it ever go away, or do you just learn to live with it?
Yeah, I specialise. I've spent years developing my own treatment system, and for a small number of people, yeah, I have cured a small number of people, but they are absolutely in the minority. The vast majority of people, 90% of people who come into my clinic, I'm able to get them to experience the sound being reduced, and reduced significantly. And that's the start.
More bearable, but not gone. That'll help.
Well, some of them, it is gone. But there's exercises, sound therapy, and other things that you can do that allow you to get over that hump and let you understand that you can control it, because that's one of the big fears that people have with tinnitus. They kind of go, oh my God, what's going to be like if it gets worse? What will I do? And everybody is saying, oh, there's no cure for tinnitus. Banish that from your mind. There's a lot that can be done, and it can be managed. Okay. And so be positive. book in with your audiologist.
Okay, so book in with an audiologist. I hope we've answered a lot of the tinnitus questions for listeners today. If you feel we've missed something, let me know. It's 087 1400 106. This listener, Frank, their 16-year-old son had grommets twice and clean up adenoids. His last treatment was 5 years ago. After the last checkup with the audiologist, he has a scarred eardrum and hole that didn't close. He's still having difficulties hearing. What would you recommend?
It's a tough one. The audiologist can test and recommend, but really a situation like that, you need your ENT, your ear, nose and throat consultant to intervene. Possibly this has originated with the adenoids or the sinuses or somewhere in the upper respiratory tract. And what happens is fluid and sometimes infection can travel down through a little tube that connects the behind the nose, the nasopharynx, to your middle ear to act as a vent. And that eustachian tube is where probably most of the infection or problem is resulting from. So an ear, nose and throat consultant will help with that.
So that listener needs to go to their GP and get the referral for the ENT consultant.
Absolutely. Right. But just before that, go to your audiologist, get photographs taken, get tested fully, get your TIMPS done, your pure tone audiometry done. So you have a full list of tests that you can bring to your ENT.
Okay.
And do unfortunately, it'll have to be done on a regular basis every 18 months, 2 years, whatever.
Now, another listener wondering why one of their ears randomly always feels like it's blocked. They think it happens more when they're stressed. It's like they can hear themselves talking, but inside their head, it drives them crazy. Can last for a couple of days at a time. They've used eardrops, so they don't think it's wax.
Yeah, probably isn't wax at all. And it's probably back to that eustachian tube again. And when you fly and you get that blocked off feeling, that's the eustachian tube getting blocked off. It opens up at the back of your nasopharynx, the bit that they poke when they're doing a COVID test. So that's your nasopharynx. And there's a little tube opening there that travels to your middle ear. And that has to allow your middle ear to vent. Now, if that gets blocked off, and it can get blocked off for a whole load of reasons, you might have sinus issues. There might be some abnormality in your nose. Again, it's a job for the ENT. An audiologist will test. An audiologist will be able to reassure you that your hearing nerve is healthy and be able to narrow down the problem to your middle ear. You take those tests and you book in with an ENT.
Referral. Okay.
And if you're not happy with the any answers that you get, always get a second opinion.
I've been fitted with an RIC hearing aid and they've definitely improved my hearing in general. The one persistent issue is hearing my wife. No, I'm not ignoring her, says this listener. In crowded situations, if we're in a bar or in a restaurant, I can hear somebody else's conversation a couple of tables over, but I still struggle to hear her properly, even though she's sitting in front of me. I've been to the audiologist numerous times. I've had various program settings changed, but I still struggle to hear her during normal conversation. Any conversations on how to resolve it?
Yeah. If you have to get a second opinion, get a second opinion. But the type of hearing loss that you have probably is a high frequency and probably a severe high frequency hearing loss. So there's a limited amount that can be done, but that doesn't say, I'm not saying that nothing can be done. You will need control over your hearing aids. The restaurant effect is well known in the hearing aid industry. Hearing aids look for voices. They're very sophisticated these days, which is fantastic. If there's one or two voices, there's probably enough residual hearing there to manage one or two voices. But if you're in a busy place where there's voices all over the place and the hearing aid is picking up all of these voices, there just isn't enough space to resolve all of those. So what you need to do then is focus. So generally what a hearing aid is set up to do is give a front focus so that you can focus on the person who's sitting in front of you. So go to your audiologist, get a front focus, shall we say, a restaurant setting, and get a remote control. And the remote control allows you to, and it might be done through your phone. A lot of
So that can just change the setting of where this focuses.
Sit and you talk, you can change the settings until you find the best setting that reduces the background noise and allows you
to
focus.
So this listener should just go back to wherever they got them.
Absolutely. And put the foot down and say, I need a remote control. I need a special setting for
Good advice.
And it may well be that The audiologist has done this already, but it can be a little bit confusing sometimes.
Okay. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number if you have a question for our audiologist, Frank McGrath. Listeners wondering, are silicone earplugs bad for them because they wear them every night?
No. Some people do develop allergies to certain types of materials, but the vast majority of materials that are available for use in the ear these days are hypoallergenic, so there'll be no problems. But overuse, make sure that you sterilise them every day. Use an antiseptic wipe, make sure you clean them after you use them, and so there should be no problems whatsoever. But don't overuse anything. It's not normal to have your ear blocked off for large portions of the day. So let air in.
My seven-year-old son seems to have a lot of earwax build up, which appears to affect his hearing. Is he too young to get his ears syringed, or what advice?
No, go to a pediatric audiologist, and certainly as children develop, this might be a phase that the child is just going through, and it might clear up itself in its own good time. But if there's a problem right now and it affects school and communication with friends, etc., go to a specialist pediatric audiologist and get the wax out and monitor it then after that.
Monitor it. Okay. What can I use for very itchy, flaky ear canals, asks this texter.
Itchy, flaky ear canals, it's a common problem, and your little finger is great. There's usually some little bit of...
That's the last thing I expected you to say.
You hear the old wives' tales and nothing smaller than your elbow and all that sort of stuff. But your little finger is designed perfectly to get at your ear canal. If there's little bits of material, loose skin sitting there, absolutely flick it away. Pseudo cream is fantastic. A tiny little smear of pseudo cream on the tip of your little finger, last thing at night before you go to bed, soothe it around the bowl of your ear and close the ear canal.
You're not just into the...
Oh gosh, no.
You just mean the actual visible part.
The visible. Just before you go to bed, when you're in bed, the warmth of being in bed allows that to infuse into your skin. And pseudo cream is a fantastic healer. Also, you can get Earol is an olive oil spray. You can use that again sparingly. You can spray it into your ear, and what it does puts a little coating on the hairs on your ear canal. There are two types of hairs in your ear. There's the tiny, tiny microscopic ones, the cilia that allow you to detect sound. There's the other ones that are right at the opening of your ear canal, which serve a function similar to eyelashes. So if something touches your eyelash, you feel an itch, so you wipe it away. Similarly, those hairs at the opening of the canal will itch if something falls in there to make you get it out. A little bit of olive oil will soothe that down.
Okay, finally, speaking of an itch, this listener's husband has hearing aids, but he won't wear them because they make his ears itch. Are there any hearing aids that don't, she's wondering?
There's a special little oil, a gel that you can get for hearing aids. Here's a big thing that we need to address straight away. If somebody has hearing aids, wear them. If you have a hearing loss and you neglect it, as the years go by, you enormously increase your risk of dementia. It's not an if or a but or a maybe. It is research. It doesn't mean that you're guaranteed to get dementia, but even a mild to moderate hearing loss, if you neglect it over time, you're three times more likely to suffer dementia. A moderate to severe hearing loss, you're five times more likely to suffer dementia if you neglect your hearing. So if you have hearing aids and you can't wear them for whatever reason, go to your audiologist and come up with a solution.
Okay. Frank, we could keep you for another hour. There's that many questions coming in. We'll have to get you back again. That's Frank McGrath, hearing aid audiologist with Ear Care Clinics. Frank, thanks a million for joining us.
Earcareclinics.ie.
Ear care. That's actually quite difficult to say. Earcareclinics.ie. Frank, thanks a million.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.